I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. For most of its run, the Skippy Hollywood Theater was an independent, syndicated program produced by C.P. McGregor, who had a unique theory in the early days of radio. He believed that it was better to pre-record a show, fixing mistakes and glitches in the editing studio, and then airing a perfect program. That idea went against the norm, which was to do the show live and hope for the best. And though the critics complained, the audience loved the idea. So did Skippy Peanut Butter, the sponsor, which sold well in the markets where the Skippy Hollywood Theater played. McGregor himself hosted the program, and it remained in syndication from 1941 to 1949. In December 1949, it was picked up by the CBS radio network, which carried it until September 1950. This episode first aired on August 13th, 1948. Here's the Skippy Hollywood Theater and Three Strikes, You're Out.
The following program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy. From Hollywood, Skippy, America's largest selling peanut butter, presents the finest in comedy, romance, drama, in the Skippy Hollywood Theater. Starring Barry Sullivan in Three Strikes, You're Out. And now here is the director of the Skippy Hollywood Theater, Mr. Les Mitchell.
If it's true that America's favorite sport is baseball, then most of you should enjoy this week's story, for it takes you right onto the pitcher's mound with Rube Walton, a character we feel is as amusing as Ring Lardner's famous Elmer the Great, as colorful as Dizzy or Daffy Dean. To portray the part of Rube, we have one of Hollywood's finest young actors. You saw him in Suspense, The Gangster, And Now Tomorrow, and Lady in the Dark, just to mention a few. It gives me real pleasure to welcome one of Hollywood's busiest and most talented leading men, Mr. Barry Sullivan.
Thank you very much, Les. They do keep me busy. As a matter of fact, I just got back from a location trip. Say, do I have time to take off my hat and coat before the show starts?
Sure. And then put on your baseball cap. But stick around for a minute after the show if you can find time.
Oh, I'm not that busy. I'll be here, Les.
Okay. While Barry Sullivan takes off his hat and coat, we'll turn you back for just a moment to Van Desitel.
If you're weary of hearing me and my opinions and my favorite products, let's talk about you for a change. Presuming that you're not too different from your next-door neighbor, you're probably fond of peanuts. Most people are, regardless of age, sex, or the color of their hair. If you do like peanuts, then I'd like to ask you to let me venture just one pocket-sized opinion. And that is, you'll like Skippy peanut butter. While Skippy is an economical food rich in protein value, the thing you're probably interested in most is, what does it taste like? To answer that, Skippy is the peanut butter that tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. Now, I'm presumptuous enough to think you'll like Skippy, not only for its flavor, but also because it has no floating oil, no stickiness, no dryness. Skippy actually stays fresh and sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. If you'll try just one jar of new, improved Skippy peanut butter, you'll find it's true. If you like peanuts, you'll like Skippy.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater presents Act One of Three Strikes, You're Out, written by Arthur Kay and starring Mr. Barry Sullivan. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
Come on, Luke, get up, get up. Come on, you big lug. Come on, wake up.
Well, go away. Look, I guess it's sleep.
Doc, come on now. If you're not up by the time I count three, I'm going to roll you out.
Mm.
One, two.
No way, will you?
Three. Out you go, you bum.
Ah, you big lug. I just wanted to sleep a little.
All right, get up. You ain't hurt. It's almost noon.
Noon? Are you kidding?
That's what I said, noon. And you know how tough Rogers is on guys who are late. Ever since he bought the club last month, he's been cracking the whip.
What time did you say it was?
I repeat, for the last time, 12 o'clock, Central Standard Time, in between morning and afternoon.
Oh, my gosh, Marty. We've got to be at the ballpark in 1 hour. Hey, where's my soap? Where's my towel?
I'll get it for you. Where's your head on top of your shoulder? Get in that shower.
Oh, brother. Was that cold?
Maybe you shouldn't have stayed in so long. Now, shake a leg. We got to get something to eat. You can't pitch on an empty stomach, you know. There's a phone. I'll get it. Hello? No, you can't. He's busy. Yeah, he's pitching today. No, not now. He's in a hurry. Sorry.
Who was it?
The same guy who's been calling you all week. Won't give his name. Some nut, probably. Come on. Take any tie. Ain't there any beauty contest, you know? Now, hey, Rogue, quit staring into space. They got a place for guys that do that.
You know, Marty, the only thing about being a pitcher is that you don't get to play every day. Days I don't work, I miss the feel of the ball in my hand, the soft grass under my spikes. Guys yelling their heads off at you. Boy, it's really great. Boy, do I feel like $1 million. I bet I strike out 15 today.
You and Bob Feller.
Oh my gosh. Marty, golly.
Hey, sit down, pal. You look like you just seen a ghost.
You shouldn't have done it, Marty.
Done what?
Rolled me out of bed like that.
Hey, pal, nothing wrong with your throwing arm, is it?
No, but golly, I forgot to put on my pitcher's glove when I got up.
Oh, is that all? I thought something was really wrong. You and your superstition.
Yeah, but Marty, I've done it ever since I've been in the majors.
Ah, come on, grab your hat.
I can't pitch today.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, put the darn thing on now.
Yeah, but it wouldn't mean the same thing. I always put it on right after I hear a voice.
Now he's hearing voices. Come on, let's get going.
No, sir. I'm getting undressed and going back to bed.
Now look, pal, I don't want to have to drag you out to that ballpark, but I will if I have to.
All right, I'll go. But I won't pitch. Something drastic is bound to happen today. I feel it.
That's right. You'll probably end up pitching a no-hit game.
Yes, sir, fans, what a ball game this has been. And it looks like the Comets stand a very good chance of recapturing first place in this red-hot pennant race. We've been watching a real pitcher's duel, but so far, Rube Walton, the Comets' ace fireballer, has had this Pittsburgh team completely handcuffed. Incidentally, I haven't yet found out why there was such a delay in starting today's game. You know, as I said earlier, it looked from here as though manager McKay of the Comets had quite a time getting Rube out on the mound to pitch. But finally, the whole team practically carried him out there, and the game got underway. Well, now the reluctant Rube Walton seems to have everything pretty well under control. There's two out in the ninth inning, and the Comets are still leading 1-0. Here comes a pinch hitter for the Pirates. It looks like Lane. Yes, it is Lane. And he may be the last man to face old Rube today. Walton's in his windup now. Here comes the pitch. Lane swings, and it's a high pop foul between home plate and third base. Rube hollering for the catch. It may be in the stands.
Yep, it looks like it was reach over the wall and snag it. Oh, I'm sorry, lady. I had to make the catch.
You bully! Look at it, the whole frim is snagged.
I'm powerful sorry, ma'am.
Young man, come back here. Did you hear me? I said come back this instant.
Let's see from that gal. Who's she hollering at?
Me.
You? What's her trouble?
Oh, she claims I smashed her hat when I caught that last ball.
That's tough. She can collect from the management.
Hey, Marty, maybe I'd better go back, huh?
Forget it. She's just a dizzy dame that's mad.
Yeah, I'll be back in a minute, Marty. See you in the clubhouse.
Hey, Rube, come back. Let her yell. Hey! Oh, what a guy. Hey, Rube, over here. Come on, grab a shower and get dressed. I'm ready to eat you.
You run along back to the hotel, Marty. I gotta go someplace.
Now, wait a minute, pal. You didn't make a date with that gal, did you?
Well, not exactly a real date.
Now, Rube, this ain't like you're holding out on your buddy. You either got a date or you ain't.
Well, we're just sort of going someplace. I'd rather not say where.
Now, look, pal, let me explain something to you. You're worth a lot of cash. And if you keep up the sort of pitching you did today, you'll be worth a lot more. There's plenty of dolls just looking for the chance to cash your checks for you.
Marty, you never trust nobody. I'm not marrying the girl.
You're going out with her, ain't you? And you don't even know who she is. She's probably a gold digger.
Oh, I know, Marty. She couldn't be. Why, I'm just going to take her downtown to buy her a new hat. Rodney, we've been driving for 10 minutes already, and we've passed dozens of stores that sell hats.
Mr. Walton, I don't buy my hats just any place. But if it'll make you feel any better, we're almost there.
Golly, I hope so. I'm awfully hungry. Say, couldn't you, couldn't I grab something to eat while you're getting the hat?
I should say not. You might sneak off somewhere.
Oh.
I want you to come with me and suffer. I'll teach you to ruin a brand new straw hat of mine.
That hat must have been pretty special the way you rave about it.
It was. I had it especially designed for me at Jacques's. A very smart shop. Oh, here we are at Jacques now.
Are you sure that's a hat store? Don't look like it. Looks more like the jewelry store back home.
This is a millinery shop. A hat store, all right.
Yeah, it looks a little like the funeral parlor back home, too.
Hey, I don't see any hats in the window.
They have them inside. Now pay the driver. He's getting a little impatient.
Oh, sure. I forgot. Here, keep the change.
Thanks.
You better let me do the talking when we get inside. They might not understand exactly what I want if you ask for it.
I'm going to do the pay, and then I'm going to do the picking out.
Huh? Have it your own way, then.
But of course, monsieur. Lillian, at the model, show the little straws, please.
Thank you, Marie. Sit down here beside me, Rupert.
No, I'll stand. I feel a little uncomfortable. These models will have their clothes on, won't they?
Of course. Oh, poor Rube. Maybe I shouldn't have put you through this. You actually look frightened.
No, I ain't scared. I just never saw a woman buy a hat like this before.
Oh, here they come. Now, you just watch, and when you see the one you like, stop the model and look it over.
Yeah, that first one looks like the one our milkman's horse wore at home in the summer.
Oh, you like that one, monsieur, huh?
No, Marie, he's just trying to be funny.
I wasn't being funny. He really does. It helps to keep the flies off.
The third girl, Marie. Would you have her come over here?
Oh, but yes, of course. That little number is so chic and so inexpensive.
I don't like it.
Why not, Ruth?
Too many vegetables on it. I like that next one.
Ah, the gentleman has very good taste. That is one of Jacques' newest creations. Very nice and very exclusive. Only the finest of material.
We'll take it with us.
We can't take it with us, Rube. They'll have to make it up. Just pay, Marie, and I'll pick it up later.
Yes, monsieur. Then it will be a big surprise when you see her wearing it, huh?
Yeah, sure. How much is it, ma'am?
Let me see. Oh, here is the tag. Yes. That will be only
$75. $75?
Yes.
For a hat? Come on, Miss Rodney. We're getting out of here.
But, Rube, you promised. Rube, let go of my arm this instant, please. You're embarrassing me.
$75? They must have seen us coming.
Marie, you can just put it on my bill. Rube, stop pulling me this instant.
Boy, were we lucky to get out of there. Now, how about going someplace for some food, huh? I'll pick out the place this time.
Yes, I'll bet. Well, let me tell you this, you cheap tramp athlete. I wouldn't go to dinner with you if I starved to death
cheap
first.
Cheap tramp athlete? Well, gee, Miss Rodney, I ain't cheap. Oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Only back home, no one pays anything like that for hats. And the girls always look real pretty in their new hats, too.
Let's just consider the whole thing a closed chapter.
And you'll have dinner with me?
Certainly not. Goodbye, Mr. Walton.
Oh, honest, I ain't cheap. Usually I eat at the hotel, but I'll take you any place you want to go.
Cab? Oh, cab!
Yes, sure, we'll take a cab. We'll go someplace nice. Yeah, get in. Would you move over just a little? There ain't quite enough room
this
for me to...
This is my cab, and we're not going anywhere together.
Gee, if you just let me...
Okay, if you won't get out, I will.
Wait a minute, driver. How do you roll down this window? Never mind, I got it. Miss Rodney, Miss Rodney, Sally...
I'm sorry, athlete. I almost forgot. Here's $5. That should repay you for all the expense you've gone through, Mr. Walton.
Oh, Sally, please.
Well, buddy, are you going someplace? Are you going to play games with the dame all night?
Huh?
You want me to take you someplace?
No, I don't guess so.
You don't want to go no place after me wasting all this time?
Now, don't you be mad at me, too. Here, this is for you. I think I'll walk.
Gee, a fiver. Thanks, Mac.
There, you see. I'm not cheap.
We'll return in just a moment with Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Three Strikes, You're Out, starring Mr. Barry Sullivan.
There are two basic ways that freshness in foods can affect your food budget. First, if foods are not fresh when you buy them, they're too expensive at any price. Second, and just as important, if the foods you buy lose their freshness before they're completely used, here again your food dollar is lying down on the job. You neatly sidestep both these hazards, however, when you buy new, improved Skippy peanut butter. Skippy is fresh when you buy it, but more important, Skippy stays fresh. It stays sweet and easily spread to the last spoonful at the bottom of the jar. Your first spoonful of Skippy from a newly opened jar tastes exactly like plump, selected, freshly roasted peanuts. As the days or even weeks go by, that flavor doesn't change one iota. The last wistful dab of Skippy from your jar has the same fresh, true peanut flavor as did the first. You buy Skippy at low cost, you use it without waste. For you can be sure Skippy will never develop oil separation, dryness, stickiness, or rancidity when your back is turned. You'll never have to throw out a partly used jar of Skippy peanut butter, for it's fresh when you buy it, and it stays fresh. With your first jar, you can actually see and taste the advantages that have made Skippy America's largest selling peanut butter.
The Skippy Hollywood Theater is presenting Mr. Barry Sullivan as Rube in Three Strikes, You're Out.
See, Rube, you were certainly gone a long time. I've been waiting here in the lobby for you. I ep it up without you, but I'll eat again and keep you company.
Ain't hungry. She didn't phone or anything?
That guy who won't never leave his name phoned again, that was all. Hey, what do you mean, did she phone?
Never mind.
I get it. What happened?
It's all because I didn't put my pitcher's glove on when I got up.
Are you still hopping on that?
Well, gosh, Marty, look what happened today. Gee, Sally sure was pretty when she got all riled up.
Sally? Oh, your straw hat lady. Hey, isn't that her coming through the door over there?
Where?
Over there, coming in with that tall guy with the mustache. Hey, Rube, sit down.
What? Marty, you think she saw us?
Nah, they didn't even look this way. She's too interested in the guy she's with.
Say, Marty, maybe I should go over and apologize.
Oh, no, you don't. You know, I seen that guy with her someplace. Let me see, where the heck was it? Yes, sir, now I've got it. You know who it is? Why, that's... Hey, Rube! Rube, where are you going?
Excuse me, Miss Rodney. Could I have a few words with you?
Oh, Mr. Walton, isn't this a surprise? Did you have enough money to pay for the cab this afternoon? Oh,
please, Miss Rodney, give me a chance to explain.
Sally, hadn't you better introduce me?
Oh, I'm sorry. Tony, this is Rube Walton. Mr. Walton, Tony Berlin.
How are you?
So you're Rube Walton. You know, I've been trying to get in touch with you all week.
You have?
Yeah.
Sally, listen, I can explain.
Anything you have to say about this afternoon wouldn't interest me in the least.
Mr. Berlin, telephone. Mr. Berlin.
Excuse me for a moment, Sally. I'll be right back. Don't go away, Rube. I want to talk to you.
Yeah, sure. Say, who is that guy? What's he want to talk to me about?
Mr. Berlin is not a guy. He's a broker on Wall Street. Besides, he's a gentleman.
Oh. You in love with him?
What? I might be. I just met him a few days ago.
Look, Sally, let me give you the $75 for the hat.
I wouldn't think of it, not after the way you embarrassed me. Now, will you please leave me alone?
Sally, do you really mean that?
Well, I might reconsider if you're really sorry about humiliating me.
Gosh, I am. Can't you see that?
Well, I don't know, Rube. I'll have to think it over. I'll call you tomorrow if I change my mind. Now, please leave now. I don't want Tony to come back and, well, find you still here.
All right, I'll go. But remember, I'm really sorry about what happened this afternoon.
Goodbye, Rube.
Goodbye, Sally. Gosh, Marty, I could eat a beer. Where's the food?
It'll be here in a minute. I ordered for you. Well, did you iron out everything with Miss Straw Hat?
Yeah, gee, isn't Sally wonderful, Marty?
Now, look, pal, I don't want to disillusion you none, but do you know who she's with? She's with...
I know who it is. Tony Berlin, some big broker from on Wall Street. I've never seen him before, but he's okay, I guess.
Yeah, he's okay. Like a leech. That's a Tony Berlin, who's the biggest ticket scalper in town. He works hand-in-hand with Bracelet Benny,
what?
Head of the Big Gallon Syndicate. This Tony's probably working his way up to offering you dough to throw a game.
Yeah, he did say he'd been trying to get a hold of me for a week.
And now he's got to work fast, seeing as we copped the lead today. So you'll get mixed up with his dame just as we win the game this afternoon.
But, Marty, me bumping into her and ruining her hat was sure an accident.
Sure it was an accident, but a mighty handy little accident.
Oh, no, I can't believe Sally would do anything like
that. Wise up, Rube. Can't you see how it works out? She comes back to the hotel and tells him what's happened. Now he sees an easy way to get to you. So they come into the dining room. Knowing darn well you're staying with the team here. Why, you probably even told her you eat here regular.
Yeah, I did tell her that. Oh, golly, Marty, I think I've lost my appetite.
That's all right, pal. I understand. Don't worry. I'll eat your steak. Hiya, Rube. Have a good rest. How'd you like that game? Sure was a tough one to lose, eh?
Yeah, sure was.
You don't seem very interested.
Marty, she didn't call. And I never left the room once all day.
I thought I told you to quit worrying.
But, Marty, she said she'd call.
Ah, nuts. You should have been there today, Rube. At least to lend moral support. We might have won if you'd been there pulling for us.
Yeah, I know. But I thought she might have been held up yesterday, that she might call today. Berlin called, but he just wanted to talk to me about something. He said Sally wasn't with him.
That no good Berlin knows that we got to win tomorrow's game if we're going to keep the league leadership. And he knows you're due to pitch tomorrow again.
Oh, no, I wouldn't let him come up here.
I should hope not.
I told him I was busy, even when he called the second time. I wouldn't have even answered the phone, except that I thought maybe it was Sally calling.
Forget that dizzy game, will you? You got to pitch tomorrow, and we sure need a win. Stop thinking about that for a change. Dames. They don't mix with baseball.
Marty, do you think maybe she'll call tonight?
Oh, shut up, will you?
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The batteries for today's game, for the Comets, Ruth Walton, and Marty Martin. For Cincinnati, Spud Lake and Ernie Barron.
All right, Rube, let's go out and have a few warm-up tosses, eh?
Okay, Marty, I guess we might as well.
Come on, boy, pep up. We got a ball game to win.
Hey, Marty, the desk clerk said Sally called while we were out of practice.
Ooh, I knew it. I thought I had it fixed so nobody could reach you.
Hey, but, Marty, don't you think I should say something to her?
I thought we decided about
but
that.
But she's right out there in the box. I saw her.
Look, if anyone says anything, it'll be me, savvy. I'll take care of her and her horse trader boyfriend once and for all.
Oh, Marty, don't say anything that would make her mad.
Don't you worry about what I'll say. You just concentrate on winning this ball game. She's in that same box? Oh, never mind, I see.
Oh, please, Marty, take it easy if you talk to her.
Shut up, I'm thinking.
Oh, excuse me.
Warm up with Ziggy, Rube. Come here, Ziggy, I got a little business to attend.
Marty, please don't say anything. Oh, gosh, darn it.
Wow!
Oh, I'm sorry, Ziggy, I didn't mean to burn that one to you like that.
All right, miss, whatever your name is.
I beg your pardon.
I'm Rube Walton's buddy. Anything you have to say to him, you can say to me.
I don't have anything to say to you, Mr. whatever your name is.
Marty's the name, Marty Martin.
What I have to say to Mr. Walton is strictly personal.
I'll bet it is. Why don't you and your boyfriend go back to fixing fights or horse races or something if you like the green stuff so well?
Green stuff?
Yeah. Rube don't take no dirty money from crooks. He's funny. He kind of likes to pitch ball games on the up and up and win them legal.
You think that I...
That's right, yeah. I think that you and Tony Berlin are trying to use dough and your charms to lure Rube into throwing the game. Well, it won't work if I have anything to do about it.
I think that you've said enough, Mr. Martin.
Just so you've got everything clear.
Oh, I guess you've made everything clear, all right.
Oh, you really had him handcuffed that inning, Rube. Only three more innings to go, and it's in the bag.
Yeah. Hey, you still didn't tell me what she said, Marty.
Well, I just said my piece, and she got mad and took off up the aisle. You don't have to worry none about her no more.
Oh, Marty, I told you not to get her mad.
Okay. Take a rest, Rube, while I get you a run, eh?
Yeah, get me three or four. I'll need them.
Hey, Rube, can I see you, man? Over here.
What the? Oh, that guy, I'd like to punch him in the nose just for good luck. All right, Mr. Berlin, what's on your mind?
I don't know why you keep avoiding me, Rube. I just want to ask a little favor of you. You see, I have a young friend that I...
You mean Miss Rodney? Look, I think a lot of her, and I don't like her hanging around you or vice versa.
So that's what's troubling her? Well, don't bet it. She's just a doll I met at the hotel bar. Now, this friend...
You mean Sally Rodney and you are...
Forget Sally. We'll guess she has nothing to do with what I want from you. Now, if you just agree...
That's enough. Don't go any further. Thanks for the information. And take a tip. Forget this deal you're cooking up. I pitch to win every game.
If Rube Walton is going to do it again. What a game he's pitched today. Last half of the ninth, and the score is Comets 2, Cincinnati 1. Two out, and now here comes McGuire to bat. One man on, and if McGuire can connect, it could mean the old ball game and the pennant, too. Since a loser for the Comets would mean a drop into second place. All right, we're all set. Here's the pitch. Ball one. Now Walton's getting a sign from Martin. He's very deliberate, and here it comes. It's a hard hit ball, bounding right back at Walton. Walton's down. The ball hit him on the head. Martin runs out, picks up the ball, throws over to first base, and McGuire out. And the ball game is all over. But wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Rube Walton is still out cold. I can't quite see him. The players are crowding around here.
All right, move back, give him some air. Hey, where's that doctor? Get that...
Rube, are you all right?
All right, sister, back in the stands. You've had your fun. Can't you leave him alone?
It's all right, Martin, that's my daughter.
Hiya, Mr. Rogers. What'd you say? Your daughter? Oh, my gosh, what have I done now? But her name was Miss Rodney, I thought.
Somebody do something. He's just lying there like he's dead.
There's a doctor coming, Sally. Keep that crowd back.
All right, let me through. I'm the doctor. Let me through, please.
I don't think it hit him square, Doc. Just bounced off the side of his head.
Well, let's have a look at him. It looks like a slight concussion.
Is he going to be all right, Doctor?
I think so. He's coming to now. He's not hurt very badly. Barely grazed his temple. Of course, we'd have to take an x-ray.
Oh, my head. Marty, what hit me?
Take it easy, kid. Just take it easy. You're okay.
Marty, where's my pitcher's glove?
Right here, boy.
I got to put it on before I get up today or I won't win.
You already won.
I have?
Yeah. Rube, you won the game today, remember?
Hello, Sally. I did? Today? Yeah, I remember. It was in the ninth inning. The score was 2-1.
Well, he's all right now. I'd like to see him later, though.
Doctor, is it all right if he comes up to my office in just a minute now? There's some things I'd like to clear up.
Oh, sure. Quite all right. He's all right.
Martin, keep him along. And Sally, would you mind coming also?
Sure, Dad.
Dad. Oh, brother, did I put my foot in it.
Okay, fellas, just take seats. This won't take a second.
Gee, Mr. Rogers, I'd like to sort of explain. It was all a mistake.
Yeah,
me and
we saw Sally with this fellow Berlin who works for Bracelet Benny, and we thought, Sally, I didn't ever...
Hold on, fellas. Here's the story. When Sally came home from college, I put her up to taking a phony name and scraping an acquaintance with him so that she could watch his actions.
Dad's the suspicious type, too.
Well, I thought it was better to have a friend in the enemy's camp. You know, I have only praise for the way you boys handled yourselves.
Gosh, I never would have taken any offer to throw a game, especially after Sally and I mean Miss Rodney, and Miss Rogers, that is.
Well, that's all, men. Meeting adjourned.
Goodbye, Mr. Rogers.
So long, Dad.
See you down in the locker room, Rube.
Yeah.
Bye, Miss Rogers.
I think the doctor's office is downtown. I was going that way to pick up my new straw hat.
Would you wait for me? I could go with you.
I'll wait. I'll even hold your hand while they take the x-rays.
And maybe we could have dinner together, huh?
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. It's that Tony Berlin. What does he want?
Mr. Walton, I'm sure I don't know what all this mystery is about, and frankly, I feel pretty much like a fool chasing you all over creation. But I have a young friend, the son of a pal of mine. All week, I've been trying to get something I promised him. Your autograph on this baseball.
An autograph? Well, oh, yeah, why, sure, I'll sign it. Hey, Sally, would you hold my glove?
You mean you'd entrust your pitcher's mitt to me?
Uh-huh. You're the only one I ever let hold it up till now.
And the curtain falls on Act Two of the Skippy Hollywood Theater's presentation of Three Strikes, You're Out, starring Mr. Barry Sullivan, who returns in just a moment.
One of the several outstanding advantages of Skippy peanut butter is the fact that it has no floating oil. Skippy is fresh and free from oil separation when you first open the jar, and it stays that way right down to the last spoonful. Creamy style Skippy, blue label, is triple mill to a buttery smoothness. Chunk style, red label, is creamy, with crunchy little nuggets of peanuts added. Enjoy Skippy either style soon. Now, here's our director, Les Mitchell.
And here's our star, Mr. Barry Sullivan. How's your head, Barry?
Oh, just fine, Les. The x-ray showed that I was okay.
Well, that's good. Your fine performance will leave a lasting impression on our audience, but we wouldn't want it to leave a lasting impression on your head.
I can take it, Les.
I know you can, Barry. I've heard a little about your early struggles before Hollywood discovered you.
Yeah, they were a few tough years after I decided I wasn't going to be a lawyer after all.
Mm-hmm. Getting the first few breaks in the stage were kind of tough, huh?
Yeah, that and holding the in-between jobs as a show barker, a theater rusher, a car washer, a parking lot attendant, a department store buyer, a couple of others.
And then at last came Broadway recognition.
Yeah, after quite a few years, and then gradually I got lucky, got a number of shows, worked hard, and then came Hollywood and Pictures.
Well, that training shows in your work, Barry.
Well, thank you, Les. And while I'm in the thanks department, I'd like to say that I appreciated Barbara Fuller's fine support of Sally and the work of the rest of the cast, too. I never could have gotten through the baseball season without them. And now, goodbye, Les.
Goodbye, and thank you, Barry Sullivan.
In the cast, you heard Barry Sullivan as Rube, Hal Gerard as Marty, Barbara Fuller as Sally, Paul Conrad as Tony, Tom Hanlon as the sports announcer, Bill Green as Rogers, and Gigi Pearson as Marie. Three Strikes, You're Out was written by Arthur Kay, edited by Bud Lesser, produced and directed by Les Mitchell, who is here also as your host.
We enjoyed bringing you this week's radio play, and we hope you've enjoyed it enough to make you return to our theater each and every week. We have a strong list of coming attractions, specially selected radio plays with outstanding Hollywood stars. In the weeks to come, you'll hear Thomas Mitchell, Richard Conte, Gail Patrick, George Brandt, and many other outstanding actors.
Barry Sullivan can be seen in The Great Gatsby, a Paramount production. Dan Desitel speaking for the Skippy Hollywood Theater. This program was produced in Hollywood and transcribed for release at this time.
From August 13, 1948, the Skippy Hollywood Theater and Three Strikes, You're Out. If there are old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, drop me a line at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. Thanks for listening. In the Old-Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.